Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to this week's Living Torah. And wow, what a weekend we had in Lake City. I just got in last night at about, I think it was about 9:30 or something like that. Had a 900-mile drive yesterday. Had to go to Jacksonville, take care of some business. And it, of course, you know, people showed up late and everything. So I ended up getting on the road late. And it was 900 miles in one day is not a record for me, but it is a lot of driving. So got in, everything safe and sound, and ready to go out. I got to tell you, this weekend, I know they videotaped, and I'm not sure if it's going to be available online or if they're going to put those messages on DVD. I know they're going to put them on DVD. I don't know if they're going to be online or not. So a week or so down the line, I'll let you know what they're going to do with that. But it was Bill Cloud, Brad Scott, myself, Jimmy Barfield, Jim Barfield, of course, from the Copper Scroll Project, and Lenny Varda, and a group called Mishka Team, Howie and Aileen. And I have to tell you, just everybody, it just meshed. It was one of the best conferences I've ever been to. And I don't do a lot of conferences anymore. I agree with Brad when he said, you know, if I had to do one a year, this would be the one. So they're going to be doing it again next year. So maybe you want to go ahead and see if you can get your reservation in to Rivers in the Desert in Lake City, Florida. It just meshed together. And to give you a summary of the messages and what was brought forth is, we all believe that we are living in very prophetic days. We believe the last days. And there is going to be, the bride is being prepared for the bridegroom. Well, what do you need to have a wedding? First of all, you got to have a bridegroom. Well, that is already taken care of. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in this week's scriptures. Number two, you got to have a place. And if you've never seen the presentation that Jim Barfield has, go to the Copper Scroll Project and you can look at this. And it is about an area of Qumran, a copper scroll. In fact, Joel Rosenberg wrote a book called The Copper Scroll. And it's amazing how many similarities there are between that book and what Jim is going through right now. And they really believe that they have found the temple treasures, the tabernacle and the tabernacle treasures. And if you've heard me in previous years, you know that I believe that somewhere the tabernacle, the curtains, everything is still there. And someone asked me one time, well, how could it be possible those curtains would still be good? You know, wouldn't they deteriorate? No, those curtains have been in the presence of Yahweh and they have not deteriorated. And so Jim believes that is all been buried in the area of Qumran where the Essenes were. That's where Yochanan was. That's where Yeshua went to. And there's a lot of ties, especially in the book of John, which was written to the Essenes. There's a lot of ties with Yeshua and these people. And so, is it there? I really don't know. But right now, the project is on hold. You can imagine with the hostilities, with the tension that's in the Middle East. You know, people talk about an oil find in Israel. That's one thing to find a little bit of oil, but to find $1 trillion worth of gold and silver and how could you possibly put a value, let's say, on something like the menorah that was actually in the tabernacle? How could you put a value on that? So I don't know if it's there or not, but I believe it's somewhere. But the point is that in order for you to have a wedding, you got to have a bridegroom. Number two, you got to have a place for the wedding. And so what better place to have a wedding than a tabernacle that's already been used for the specific purpose of dwelling with his people? Number three, you got to have wine to have an Israeli wedding. And so I gave a little report of what's going on in Israel, of Hayavel, and about how much wine is coming forth. In fact, for those of you that have ever had the Saigot wine, they just took 8 wines to France. They won 3 gold, I think it was 3 gold medals. They placed in every single wine, and this is a winery that was begun back in 2003. every single wine was placed in some way or another. And you got honorable mentions, best in category. I mean, the French have got to be just furious over this. And you know what I got to say about that? So what? It is a statement. It is a statement that the Almighty is orchestrating this and bringing it forth. By the way, if I'm not going to be able to go this year, I don't think, to the pruning. If there's any men out there, if you got some extra time, you can go over there for the pruning or make plans, ladies and gentlemen, for the harvest. Please go ahead and do that. It's a great time. They need the help. I know that. I haven't said a lot about it. So you need a bridegroom. You need a place. You need wine. And you need a bride. And the message that came forth at Lake City this past weekend was about the bride. And it really tied back, as Jim Barfield tied it, to Haggai. And as Haggai talks about the tabernacle, talks about the temple, that the gold and silver are mine. And the message of Haggai is this: consider your ways. And if there's one thing that I am hearing, I just was on the phone with a friend of mine a few moments ago, some good friends up in Kansas City. I was on the phone earlier with someone in South Carolina, an email that came in from Colorado, from Kelly Ferrari Mills up there. And if there's one message that is going forth right now, is this: the bride needs to get ready. The bride needs to make herself ready. And in order to do that, we need to consider our ways. We need to be considering, because if you've ever been a part of a wedding, you know that as you start to plan at first, and I know I'm rattling before getting into scriptures, that's okay. But you start planning, and it's about, well, where are we going to have it, and what's the flowers, and the dress, and the, you know, and the guy says, I don't really care about any of this stuff. But I think Yeshua cares a lot about this allegory of a wedding, okay? Let's don't push it to an extreme. It's an allegory to teach us what it's all going to be like. But the thing that happens as you get closer and closer to the wedding is that the focus becomes not as much about the flowers and the dress and all that. That's been done. The focus becomes about the bride making herself ready. And so Brad Scott brought out a very interesting statement in this last weekend, as he said, maybe the reason that Messiah has not returned is because we're not ready. And, you know, it depends on the perspective you look at it. And I want to talk about that in just a moment. But I can see that. I can really see that. So, great time. And if it's going to be available soon, I will let you know on the video. Next couple weeks, to this weekend, God willing, Bezrat Hashem, I will be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And a great time up there with Earl Walters and the group there. And on the website, I hope it's all there by the weekend. February 8th, that day, I will be in Houston, Texas, all the way down there in the bottom of Texas. And the last weekend of February, I'll be in Durham, North Carolina, and then that will be followed up. That's a wonderful group there. I just was on the phone with the leader this morning. We're setting up the final details. Got some good friends of ours that'll be there from visiting, actually, from Montana, visiting their daughter who lives there. So looking forward to a wonderful time there in Durham, North Carolina. We're going to be talking a lot on Shabbat, about the spiritual aspects of preparation. I guess I'll be talking about this bride thing a little bit. And then on Sunday, we will spend the day on more of the physical aspects of preparation. That'll be followed, I'm not sure about the week, what's going on during the week, but that'll be followed the first weekend of March. Everything lining out I never know from one moment to the next what may happen with my mother, with Kathy's mother, but this is the plan. The following weekend, which will be the first weekend of March, will be with Barry and Laura Phillips in Gloucester, Virginia. And now that, I can't wait to be there. I haven't seen Barry and Laura for a long time. Their family, their growing family. So looking forward to being there. Then let's see, we've got a preparedness weekend. Be scheduling up in Ohio the end of April. And then on to Purify Conference in Ohio, and maybe a number of things in the middle of that. So everything's looking pretty good here. I'm going to be busy, and that keeps me in trouble, I think it is. So with that, I'm tired, I am worn out, and if I look goofy already, there's a reason. When you look through a windshield for 902 miles, I think it was yesterday, I saw the sun come up, I saw it go down, and was keeping on driving. And so you never know what I may say today. So let's get in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 25. Four more chapters to go. What's the chances we're going to be done by Passover? Yeah, not too good. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, the kingdom of heaven. Now notice, this does not say heaven. All right, let's just stop right there for a second. This is teaching about a realm. Okay, it says a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven at that time will be like. And so this is a parable that is instructing us about principles of our life leading up to entering into the kingdom of heaven. This is not teaching us that we're going to die and go to heaven, because we know from the scriptures now that when Messiah returns, he's returning to earth, okay? Because that's where the millennium is going to be. And this is something that, you know, our vocabulary and thought processes, I think this is still a difficult one for many people to kind of overcome this, because we spent so much time in previous years of I'll fly away, oh glory, I've got a mansion over the hillside and the pearly gates and all that kind of stuff. And then to look at scripture and find out that the earth was made for man, heaven belongs to Yahweh, and he has made the earth. And the problem with mankind is we normally don't want what is ours, we want what is somebody else's. And so I said to the group this weekend, I said, I don't want to go to heaven, because if Messiah is going to be here, I don't want to miss him. You know, he's going to be here. He's going to be in Jerusalem. He's going to be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. What all that means, how that's all going to come about, yeah, that's up to him in the end. But the truth is, he's going to be with us, we're going to be with him, and the kingdom is going to be upon this earth. The kingdom of heaven will be upon this earth. And this is what it will be like. It will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. Now, this if there's any parable that has been used through the years for choreography of dances, this is it, okay? And I'm not putting down any of those, because I've seen some absolutely incredible, beautiful dances that have been choreographed to these verses. But has it been, you know, maybe we got the message, maybe we haven't got the message, okay? Now look at this. It is not the bride, okay? This is talking about 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. It says that 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. The foolish ones took lamps with them, but no oil, whereas the others took flasks of oil with their lamps. Now, we've got to go back to the setting of what this was in the time that this was being written. As the time that Yeshua was speaking this, what was it about? Okay, was this a Coleman lantern with gas, with natural gas in it, with unleaded or with Coleman fuel? Was this a flashlight with C-123 batteries in it? I don't believe so. In that day, a lamp did not look a thing like it does today. You know, this is another one of those problems of when we hear the word lamp, I think about what my grandmother had. You know, the kerosene lamp with the wick and the chimney on it and the colored oil that was in there. Still have one of those. That's not what they had In fact, what it was a very small oil lamp. It was made of clay. And I've seen those in Israel. I'm sure many of you have. But a very small lamp. It had a wick in it, but it was not transported with oil in it. If you take an open container like that and you transport it, they wouldn't have gone walking over to wherever they were, over to where the wedding is going to be, where the bride and groom are going to be coming. They would not have taken this little lamp and, you know, transported it like this. They wouldn't have walked over there, would it? Instead, what they would have done is they would have packed it. It would have gone in a bag or something. And then when they got there, the oil was kept in a separate flask, which could be sealed up. And so when it came time to light the oil lamp, you took the lamp out, you trimmed the wick, and then you poured the oil into the lamp and you lit it and you had light. Okay, very unlike what we have today. So this is the scenario that is being laid out here. It says that the five of them were foolish and five of them were simple, or were sensible. Yeah, were simple. They just did what they were told. And it goes on, it says, now when the bridegroom was late, or many translations say, when the bridegroom tarried. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, it says, he who will come, he who shall come will come and will not tarry. So this statement that people have made through the years that if Messiah tarries, well, let me tell you, according to Hebrews chapter 10, he is not going to. So if you're one that uses those words of you know, well, if Messiah tarries, the scripture says he's not. So go ahead and strike those out, you know, get that list of things that we say that we were taught that are not true. Go ahead and strike that out as another one that is not true. So he's late. But is he late? It depends on what perspective you're looking at it from, I think. When it comes to the return of Messiah, this, him being late, him tarrying, is dependent upon your perspective. Okay? Now, Brad brought out this weekend of how many times in history, going back to before the coming of Messiah, back in like 300 before Messiah, and how many times there has been a word that he was going to come, he was going to return. It's in the hundreds. It's in the hundreds. It was amazing to look at. And these are verifiable. You know, 1988, 1976, back to 70, all the way through. And so if we look at this from man's perspective, it appears that he's late. I mean, you know, I look at the world situation today the same as you. And I figure this way. Messiah has missed a lot of good opportunities along the way to return, has he not? Well, yeah, he has, from my perspective. From his perspective, he's absolutely to the moment on time. And we will find in the end, we will figure out the reason why he didn't come in our time. It's like the old preacher said, God, he's never been late, but he's missed a lot of good opportunities to be early. And I think we both agree. But if we look at this from the perspective of, it's not that he's waiting for something, you know, a world event, an earthquake, a famine, or something like that, but he is orchestrating it to where we are being prepared. And let's be really honest with ourselves. Most of myself, when I look at this scripture that says he's going to present us as a bride, okay, it is an allegory, as a bride without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing, and I look in my own mirror, my own spiritual mirror, I can tell you, we've got some preparation to do before his return. But I think one of the most intriguing things that's happening today is this word that I see coming from all over the place that many people are talking about. We need to start looking in our mirror, because it's not the famines and the chemtrails. It is us. We need to focus on ourselves and getting ourselves ready. You know, this goes back to human principle, a human thing, that it's so easy to blame everybody else. Have you noticed that? Maybe you haven't. Yeah, you have. If you're human, if you're human and you're walking in any kind of humility, you would have to say that our human nature is to blame somebody else. How easy is it to say, you know, that was my fault? That's like, it's like chewing on a wheelbarrow full of dirt. It would be easier than saying, it was my fault. Go back to Adam and Eve. You know, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. You know, I'm not going to say the rest. Don't worry. But that same thing is going on today, that it's so easy to blame other things, to look at other things. And so the way I'm seeing this right now is I'm encouraged. If there's ever been a time that I've been encouraged, it is right now, because I'm seeing people their desire is to get themselves cleaned up, to clean our own house spiritually, to clean our own house emotionally, to clean our own house physically. I mean, this thing with health, you know, healthy eating continues to grow and grow and grow right before our eyes. We thought it was just about bacon and shrimp. You know, we come to find out it's about much more than that. That he desires, even though this mortality is going to put on immortality, there is something about respecting our natural bodies that he has given to us, that is a preparation for us being conformed into his image. So all of those things across the board are very, very encouraging to me. Moving on from there, it says that the bridegroom was tarrying. He was late from the perspective of the bridesmaids. So they all went to sleep. Well, why did they go to sleep? Because it was night and it was late. Okay, when they went out to meet, they had their oil, their lamps, they were in their purse or whatever that was that they had to hold them. Why? Because it was daylight. But the sun goes down, it becomes darker and darker. They've had a little bit of a journey to get to where they are. They've gone through a number of things, and here they're sleepy. I mean, it's like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. So many people have said, well, you know, these disciples couldn't even stay up an hour. That's because they were human. They were tired. And yes, Yeshua said to them, couldn't you wait with me? And couldn't we? We've all heard that same statement, I think, you know, with our great goals to pray and to do all these things, and then we end up sleeping. You know, you get down, you start to pray, and all of a sudden you're asleep, and it's the next morning, because we're human. Well, this parable, as it goes through, it talks about the bridesmaids, and how, you know, it got late. It was late in the night. It was dark out, and what did they do? They went to sleep. Instead of watching, instead of waiting, instead of being aware of what was happening around them. And probably one of the greatest traps of the enemy today is to get us to kind of come into a bit of a comatose state regarding the things that are going on around us. Now, I mean, I was talking about the chemtrails last week, and how I've decided I don't mess with stuff like that. You know, I was talking to a friend last night. I spend a lot of time on the phone when I've got these long drives. So I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and he was talking about there's a 7 steps of successful people. Covey is a Mormon guy, I guess. And he was talking about his sphere of influence and then his sphere of concern. Okay? And this is a biblical principle, really, of focusing on what we can influence, not focusing on what we can worry about. Okay? I've met too many people that spend so much time on the chemtrails. I can't change chemtrails. Not legally. Okay? Not without blowing something up, and that's not legal, and I'm not doing that. So I can't influence chemtrails. I can, however, influence my life. I can influence my family. I can influence those that are closest to me. I can influence through doing what I'm doing right now. So I need to focus on what I can influence and not focus on what I can't influence. And so with this, I think that there's a focus on, you know, over there and over, all these different things, that people become weary. And we have to be on guard that we do not become weary, that we do not become those people that go into the slumber. Now, keep on going. So now the bridegroom was late, so they went to sleep. It was the middle of the night, okay, when the cry rang out, "The bridegroom is here, go out to meet him." The girls all woke up, prepared their lamps for lighting. Now, what were the bridesmaids supposed to do? This is a totally different tradition than what we have today, is these bridesmaids would prepare the way for the bridegroom. They would take their lamps, they would, as it will say, that they were to trim their wicks, and they were to fill them full of oil, and they were to go out, and they were to light the way for the bridegroom to come into the bride. So it says, the girls all woke up, prepared their lamps for lighting. The foolish ones said to the sensible ones, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." Now, what would cause a lamp to go out very, very fast? Basically is this: when you have an oil lamp like this is, and it has a wick, and it has been lit before, before you would pack it for transporting, you would take the oil that's in there and you would pour it back into the flask, and you would cap the flask. You would seal the flask back up. But there is still a little bit of oil in the wick. So you can light that wick and it will burn for a very limited amount of time before it goes out, because there's no more fuel to burn of this. And so what is this about? I spent a lot of time on this today, the last few days driving, and I was trying to find a lot of this. It's interesting to me that I open a couple of commentaries that I have that are very good commentaries written by Messianic sources, and they skipped over this whole parable. They didn't have a word to say about this whole parable. Okay, so it leaves me on my own here. So I really started looking at this a little bit more. Is what is this looking like? This is the same parable as the wheat and the tares. Same thing. About two groups of people that grow up together. They both look the same. The wheat and the tares, for a while, still, they both look the same. And I think it's like this, that we have these 5 wise, sensible bridesmaids over here, that they have got it, okay? They have developed a relationship with the bridegroom, with the family. They are in relationship. The other side, the 5 foolish, said, you know, we really don't believe in this stuff, but we like to hang out with that crowd. And because of that, they had all of the trappings on the outside. They looked good on the outside. But when it came down, when the rubber hit the road, they had nothing to fill themselves on the inside. They could not receive of the oil because they did not have a relationship with the one who would give oil, the Spirit of God. And so this is to me a very, very simple, in the end, a very simple parable of how we can be standing. As I was in a conference with 150 or 200 people, and you know, we had a great time of worship. Lenny and Varda, Howie and Aileen, I think I'm pronouncing her name right. If I'm not, sorry. Wonderful. I mean, in fact, Lenny and Varda were doing the song "We Proclaim." I so appreciate these guys. Varda was almost dead last year. She God healed her. It was an amazing time. I talked to him about it. And I really appreciate them because, you know, every week we go out with the Aaronic Blessing. That's Lenny Harris. And Lenny and Varda have gone to, when we use a whole song like that, I have to get copyright. And I went to Lenny and Varda and said, would you mind if I use? They said, Mike, you can use anything we have. Don't even be concerned about it. They never charge for anything. You know, a lot of artists out there, they'll charge you. You know, so if they've got 10 CDs out, they've got a new one. If you want to go to LennyandVarda.com after Shabbat and get one of their CDs and just put a new one out. And so they're just awesome. But Lenny was up there. He was in the front. I was in the back. They're singing the song "We Proclaim," and I've never thought of that as a real spiritual song, but all of a sudden I just start crying, couldn't believe it. And I looked up, and Lenny, he's a long ways from me, he can't see me from where he's at, and he's got a tissue and he's wiping the tears from his eyes. You know, we had a lot of people in the room that were doing the same, but I don't know from the outside of a person what is inside the person. I've been around people and have seen people from time to time, as long as I've been doing this, that may have outward tears, and later on you find that they don't have any inward oil. Because the oil, in order to receive the oil, that vessel has to be prepared. That vessel has to be prepared. It has to have an external source. So these people, these five foolish bridesmaids, they came with all the outward trappings, looking the same on the outside, but in the end, they were trusting in themselves. They were trusting in their own abilities. They were trusting in, you know, if you've been in a meeting and you got some worship going on, sometimes it rubs off to another person. And the same thing is happening here with the five foolish bridesmaids, is that they've been around enough that a little bit of the oil from the others rubbed off on them just enough to make it to where they could light their lamps just for a moment. But they never took that little bit of oil that they had and allowed themselves to go to the source of the oil and ask for more. And so when it says, they go to the sensible ones, it says, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. Now it's not that these wise bridesmaids, these wise virgins, it says, many translations, it's not that they don't want to give the oil, but you can't give away the oil. My oil is from Yahweh. My oil comes from the Ruach HaKodesh, and I can't give my oil to someone else. You know, it's like it's said that in eternity, that God doesn't have grandchildren. You can't take your salvation and let somebody else have half of it. That's not redemption. Redemption is a personal thing. So I can't take my anointing and give and say, okay, well, I'm going to take half of my anointing that I have. I'm going to take half of it. I'm going to give it to you. That can't be done. That's not the way it works. Either you're in relationship or you're not. One of the two. And so these sensible virgins, sensible bridesmaids, they said, go to the oil dealer. Who's the oil dealer? Yahweh. And buy some for yourselves. But as they were going off to buy, the bridegroom came. It was too late. Those who were ready went into the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came. Sir, sir, Adonai, Adonai. They said, let us in. But he answered, indeed, I tell you, I don't know you. See, there is a day coming that is going to be a line that, excuse me, I'm looking at my phone. I've got something important, but just checking there, sorry. I don't like it when people do that, but once in a while you just have to. So there is coming a day that's going to be the line that if you don't have that relation set, one day too late. You're not going to be able to go. The door is going to be closed. We look at it as we did previous weeks that with Noah, as in the days of Noah, there is a day coming that the door of the ark will be closed. And on that day, if you are not in the ark, there's no way to buy a ticket for the ark. There's nowhere to go and get your ark tickets. You know, last moment, last chance sale. Sorry, the doors are closed, but we're going to open them one more time. That's not the way it works. There's coming a day that the door to the wedding will close. If you don't have your oil, then it will be too late. You will not be able to get it later. And the reason for it is, I tell you, I don't know you. You got to know him before the wedding, not after it has begun. Stay alert, because you know neither the day nor the hour. Stay alert. Don't allow yourself. Yes, we have to have, we cannot stay, as I've talked to before, we cannot stay in that red alert all the time. It will wear you out. But, Kathy's out of the office, so I got to just let that ring. There was a coming time. Okay, finally, the answering machine got it. We can't live in that red all the time. There's coming a time that we have to also, no matter what, we have to stay alert. We have to be watchful of the things around us. But here's the one thing that we've got to be watchful for. Not the chemtrails, not the famines, not the wars and the rumors of wars. I'll tell you what we must be watchful for is our relationship with him. We need to, as Paul would say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to be alert, ever watchful. Do I possess oil? Or am I just a decorated empty vessel? Do I have oil to make it to the end? And that oil is something that I cannot produce. That oil is something that will come because of my relationship with His Spirit. And many today that are saying, you know, we don't need that Holy Spirit stuff. That's for the church. I totally and completely disagree. The Spirit of Yahweh is needed in our day today. We need to come back to worship. We need to come back to praise. We need to come back to looking again at the gifts of the Spirit. We have too many people out there saying, you know, I can get by with what I know in the Torah. I can just get by with the truth. No, it's going to be those who worship in spirit and in truth that make it to the end. We must stay alert that our connection with the one who gives oil is true today, not going to sleep and thinking, oh, because I know a little bit about Torah, everything is going to be all right. Well, with that, I gotta go answer that phone and see who called. Sorry about that. It's just the way it happens on a day like this. You're running late, and I forgot to unplug the phone. So with that, Shavua Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed, and oil-filled week. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you again next week. Again, if you're anywhere close to Tulsa and you watch this in time, come on up and be with us. You can go to the website, the itinerary, and get everything for that I've got out there. So, see you then.
Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.